intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Welcome to the fourth episode of the PC Invasion Podcast with myself, Peter Parrish. Hello. I'm joined by co-hosts Tim McDonald. Hello, Tim.
Hello. I'm proud of you. You still haven't accidentally given this podcast the wrong name.
I know. I'm saving it up for like episode 7 where it'll seem even more stupid because we won't have been ink gamers for like 4 months or something. Paul,
you're at the point where you should have been used to this for a very long time.
Yes. Paul Junger, hello.
Hello.
You were doing some printing earlier. Is that good printing you were doing?
No, I'm trying to resurrect an old printer.
Oh, that's why it sounded so horrendous.
Yeah. It's not like a dot matrix. And you're like, it's nothing like that, but, you know.
Only the latest technology news here on the PC Invasion Podcast. Dot matrix printers takes me back. All right, let's talk about the big game release of this week, which is of course Ma Yong battled Schoolgirls in Trouble or whatever Tim was telling me about earlier, which apparently is the top seller on Steam. So
Looking at Steam at the moment, Batman Arkham Knight is being beaten out by Ma Yong Pretty Girls Battle Schoolgirls Edition, which is a fairly straight Ma Yong game from what I can tell, which means that I'm pretty sure 80% of the people won't be able to understand it. It just has pictures of anime girls in it. No nudity, nothing like that, just pictures.
Well, I reckon that's in your Steam collection, isn't it, Tim?
No, it's not.
What?
I don't know how to play Ma Yong. It's incredibly confusing.
Neither does anyone else who bought it on Steam, but that didn't stop them, did it?
Clearly not. I don't agree that that's a good thing, though.
Anyway, while that might be the top seller in pervy central Isle of Man, it's actually only third over in where I am, so it's still Batman on top of it. Batman slightly more popular than my game with anime schoolgirls.
So Batman is on top of the anime schoolgirls.
Yes, he is.
I've seen pictures like that, actually.
Batman, how could you? it's inappropriate. You'd think his code would have something against that. He's normally quite
sweeping from the rooftops and onto school buses.
I mean, he is equipped to do that, to be fair. It's kind of a whole deal. So, Batman Arkham Knight, right, on the PC. It's not going well, as far as I can tell. So, our status with the PC review code, I think, is that we got one yesterday or something. What are you showing me, Tim? You found a picture of Batman involving himself. Oh, blimey. It's just a picture of the face.
No, I found a picture of Batman punching a schoolgirl in the face. I did a Google search for Batman schoolgirls, and that was the first thing that came up.
So that is definitely this week's podcast image, then.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. You'll see that. I don't know. We have like a standard one now. I can link it, though. I'll remember to link it.
Apparently that is the cover of an actual issue of one of the Batman comics.
I'm writing down link to Batman. Schoolgirl. I hope he has a good reason for doing that. Otherwise that's just wanton violence. Speaking of wanton violence, the PC version isn't very good of Batman Arkham Knight. So suspicions arose the other day when Rocksteady and Warner Brothers suddenly went, oh, you know the minimum requirements for Batman? We know it's the day before release, but we're raising those. So no longer can you make AMD jokes shortly, but they raised the minimum AMD card from a 2 gig 7870 to the 3 gig 7950. You can now make your AMD jokes if you wish.
Actually, I was before making any AMD jokes, quite frankly, at this point, it's just way too easy. I did see something on their Arkham Knight Steam page last night, an update that there were new AMD drivers that supposedly improved performance.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
Is that true?
Well, that is. It's true that they released some new drivers. I can neither confirm nor deny whether it improved the performance. AMD jokes aside, right? This game runs on both the consoles. They are not. They do not have the equivalent of a 3 gig 7950 AMD card inside them, right? To ask for this as a minimum on the PC version is pretty ridiculous. I mean, I know generally you need a little more horsepower on the PC to run the equivalent of a console version, but like, this is a really bad sign if they're going, yeah, you need kind of an amazing card to even run this on minimum.
We get the nicer, shinier graphics, Peter.
Yeah, we do, but we also have the option to turn them down to console vision if you have a worse PC. So, well, actually, we'll get onto that, because actually, no, we don't, really.
Okay. Your idea with the podcast this week is ruining the surprise for me on how shit this port is.
Oh, I'm sorry. But it's the big news. It's the big Batman news. So the next thing was, right, the Batman Arkham Knight has a benchmark tool, you know, a proper PC benchmarking tool that will give you your min, max, and average frame rates. But the game itself is actually capped to 30. So you run the benchmark, which isn't capped to 30, and it goes, all right, yeah, you've got an average of like 60 or 50 or whatever. But then you go into the game and it's just going to be 30. And the only way to change that is to go into the INI file and ask it nicely not to lock the frame rate at 30 anymore. So that's a bit weird as well.
Are there problems with running it above 30? Is that why this is done?
I don't know.
Dark Souls murder ladders? Or?
As far as I know, no. But I mean, maybe. Okay. But in which case, why do you have a benchmarking tool? You're going to lock it to 30. What's that there for? The benchmark tool is apparently very not great because it's not indicative of an area in the game. So even if you get really good frame rates in the benchmark, it kind of doesn't matter anyway.
Excellent.
What else? There's crashing, there's frame rate problems all over the place for people. Not just AMD, Nvidia in this boat as well. Graphics options seem pretty bare bones. Like, it's got this horrible motion blur that you can't switch off. There's no motion blur option. The only texture options are apparently standard and normal.
What?
Yeah. Does anyone want to speculate the difference between standard textures and normal textures? I don't know. That's a mystery. The texture streaming apparently is pretty shit, so it'll be like really low res in some places unless you stand there for about half an hour and wait for it to stream in.
That's alright. I've played Bungie games, I'm used to that.
So yeah, it's a bit wank, apparently.
Hooray!
There's enough corroborating evidence that even though I haven't got a copy of it, I'm pretty confident saying that this is a bit of a Assassin's Creed Unity all over again.
Yes.
Maybe worse. It's
only worse if there's pictures of Batman's eyeballs.
Oh yeah. Oh, I hope it does that as well. I hope like his face goes missing. That's Two-Face, isn't it? That's Two-Face's deal. That his half of his face is missing.
I think I missed that. In terms of horrific graphical glitches, I mostly just remember Rome 2.
Oh yeah, that was another good one where all the troops look like weird flesh decaying zombies if you zoomed in.
Yes.
That was amazing. What else about this Batman thing? Okay, so it's kind of transpired today that Rocksteady probably didn't do this PC version because there's a post on the forums, the usual kind of limp PR response going like, we are aware of people having issues, we are working closely with our external PC development partners, it says. Which, firstly, why aren't you naming your external PC development partners? It kind of seems like you're ashamed of them, which, I mean, maybe you should be, but it's a bit weird that they won't just say who it is. And based on the credits, it seems like it is Iron Galaxy Studios, who I read up a bit about, and they did the only PC port thing I could find from them was they put Minerva's Den, the Bioshock 2 DLC, on PC, apparently, which, as far as I know, was all right. But
why didn't they go to somebody like Splash Damage, who did the multiplayer?
I don't know. Why didn't they do it themselves, which I think they did for Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, which I know one of those had some weird DirectX 11 issues that maybe never got fixed, but otherwise were okay, I think, as PC versions. It's weird. It seems like a real rush mess of a job, and hopefully they can fix it.
That explains why we didn't get PC code until today.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. But
the explanation for that is probably just the E3.
I mean, it is. I do kind of worry about that when that happens, but didn't they do the same with Shadow of Mordor, which was a really good PC version as well? That was like day of release, right? Yeah.
I think you're right.
And that was Warner Brothers as well, so it's hard to say with PC code. Sometimes it just shows up day of because they can code it until the day of release, so they do, and then they don't give it to you until that.
We have been over this before, from what I can tell, that it's a fairly standard practice in that because the console versions need to be certified a while in advance, they get the brunt of work done on them beforehand, and then once those are certified, that's when the PC version gets more of the focus, because that can be done right up until release, which is why you usually see day one patches and things like that.
I mean, funnily enough, I think the PlayStation 4 version has a day one patch, but as far as I know, the PC version doesn't, but kind of seems like it needs one. I mean, for people who've bought this on Steam, this is a nice early test for whether Steam's refund system is going to get a battering, I suppose, unless people give it a week or so to see if it can get fixed and patched up. But that's pretty disappointing, for, you know, it's a big summer blockbuster release, and once again, PC appears to have got a bit of a shafting, or a lot of a shafting, it seems like, which is disappointing. So, Tim, are you looking forward to having a look at Batman?
Yes, I'm looking forward to being extremely confused in text form by the standard and normal texture options.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
I hope that's true. The part that I'm not
looking forward to, though, is taking multiple screenshots and trying to work out what the fuck the difference is.
Because
that's usually quite time-consuming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the microscope.
Yeah, exactly. Get comb over those pixels, look for the chromatic aberration and the anti-aliasing.
I don't even know what chromatic aberration means.
Peter. It's the one that makes everything look like fucking shit. Is the one.
Isn't that just bloom and motion blur, though?
Them too. But chromatic aberration is the worst. It's the one that has like a kind of greeny red halo around the sides of everything and gives the impression that you're using a really shit camera that doesn't work very well.
Is that just the modern version of lens flare, which was the bane of everyone's existence back in the 90s?
Yeah, it kind of is. It's horrible. And any time it can be turned off, it needs to be turned off. Thank God The Witcher 3 gave me an option to switch it off. Well done, CD Projekt Red.
It's always nice when they give you options to turn off stuff that is very hardware intensive but looks shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the ideal set of circumstances. Is there anything that can be done about shit PC versions being released? When are they going to stop?
People wait for our impressions before buying the game.
Yeah.
Although, who knows, maybe this will be one of those occasions where it'll run flawlessly for me. Somehow. Well,
it has run okay for some. There's a comment on one of the stories that I wrote about this from Laserbeak, one of our regular posters, who said it was running alright for him. So I don't know what kind of PC he has, but that doesn't seem to be making a difference necessarily. It seems kind of random whether it works okay.
Well, with something like this, I wouldn't necessarily expect, if I'm going to pump the graphics up, I wouldn't necessarily expect a full, flawless 60 frames a second. We'll see how it goes.
No, but it's above and beyond that sort of problem. It's kind of a horrible stuttering all over the place, no matter what kind of affair, I think.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because it looks like a nice game, visually. It's appealing.
Rave reviews.
Rave reviews on the PlayStation 4, yeah. That version works, apparently.
Sort of like the opposite of Bethesda, then, where the PC version is quite nice, but the PS4 version, the PlayStation versions don't actually work.
Yep.
In this case, it's the other way.
Yeah. Lovely. Paul, anything to add about Batman?
He's quite tough.
He is, yes. Anything else?
No, well, I'm not going to play this one because I couldn't get past the big lizard man in the last one, if you remember. Oh,
in Origins, yes. How was that PC version? That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed all right.
I know it had a few weird issues to begin with, but...
Well, yeah, except for the fact the PC version did also have one or two rather massive bugs in it. The actual PC port itself, if I remember rightly, was okay.
Yeah.
It, you know, wasn't bad. It wasn't particularly good. It was, but yeah, it had multiple bugs. Like one of the fast travel points you couldn't actually unlock on PC. it was impossible to do so because the triggers weren't configured correctly, and it took them a while to fix that one.
Right. Yeah, I don't know who did that version. I mean, Rocksteady didn't do Origins in the first place, so who knows?
No.
Yeah, it kind of bothers me that it's sometimes very difficult, or at least a little bit difficult, to find out who has done a PC version sometimes, and they don't really talk about it or tell people. And so I was really pleased when Deus Ex Mankind Divided a long time ago said, oh, it's going to be Nixes, or however you say their name, doing the PC version of that. Which, you know, that's fine. They did Human Revolution, so you kind of know where you are there. You think, all right, well, they did okay last time, I'll probably do all right this time, and good for you for telling us that someone different is doing the PC version. I'd like to see that more.
I need to find out who did Deus Ex The Fall's PC version.
Oh, no.
It was Gary in his spare time.
Chinese server farm. Okay, that was... I don't actually know who that was. Apparently the two developers listed for that are just Eidos Montreal and N-Fusion Interactive.
Who are N-Fusion Interactive?
They sound suspiciously like a company that makes mobile phone games, judging by the name of it. But I don't know whether they did the PC version, presumably. Can't see any other developers listed.
So, other news this week. Project Cars.
There isn't any. It's post E3.
No, look, Project Cars 2 has been announced, and this is exciting for us, because we have the most in-depth racing game coverage of any site. We're all huge racing game fans. The reason this one's interesting is because Project Cars only came out, like, 2 months ago, and now they've announced Project Cars 2, which, I mean, sort of makes sense, because they're crowdfunding this one, as they did with the first Project Cars. They have they're not doing Kickstarter, they have their own weird crowdfunding system, do slightly mad. But I don't know if this is the best timing to announce your sequel about a month and a half after the first game comes out, and when the first game still has some issues with it as well. People aren't really going to respond brilliantly to that. I mean, am I just going to carry this segment as well?
Okay, the timing on that is a little bit weird and ropey because I don't know, it's hard to say whether or not this is whether or not it matters, whether or not this is just public perception or what. Because you would kind of assume that with most big releases, work would probably start on a sequel fairly early on anyway.
Yeah.
But this makes it blatantly apparent.
It's just, part of me kind of likes it, yeah, because it is so transparent. Like, let's not kid ourselves, there is going to be another Assassin's Creed that's being made right now that isn't Assassin's Creed Syndicate. It's just they haven't told us what it is yet, but it definitely is being made. So I guess why not be like, oh yeah, we're going to make two.
How long do you think before they rebrand it to Project Cars 2016? And then 2017?
Well, yeah, because the first Project Cars started in 2011 or something like that. So if they have a similar schedule, we won't see this until, 2018 or something. But yeah, it's more of a perception thing. I don't think people love it. I don't think they love being told we're already working on a sequel when the first one's only just been out the door and hasn't, still needs some patches and whatnot, like most games seem to these days.
I suppose it also doesn't help that... I mean, was Project Cars one of the ones that wound up in Early Access as well?
It sort of, because of their own crowdfunding system. I think a lot of PC people who'd funded it essentially got an Early Access version that they were able to play and give feedback on for, I think, several years, in fact. So.
Okay, so if this has the same thing, it's going to be, hooray, we finished Project Cars, you played that for 2 months. Here's an alpha version of the new one.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit strange. Anyway.
Yeah, look, it's not really a surprise or anything. It's just the transparency as much as anything, which unfortunately is probably going to cause degree of public outcry.
Yeah. Anyway, Project Cars 2, we're probably not going to be that interested in it. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't really have any major racing game.
Well, I think we gave up after Peter and I attempted to play F1 that time, and then we realised that we were really shit at racing games.
Yeah, and like, I don't really know much about F1, so...
I don't mind the odds, I can handle the need for speeds and the burnouts because they're a bit more arcadey, and even things like grid, I can manage grid, but you go any more realistic than that and I have difficulty.
Anytime it gets to a bit simmy, I'm not going to actually use a gearbox and learn what KERS is and things like that.
That's why you don't drive, isn't it, Tim? Because it's too realistic.
Yeah.
It's very realistic.
Well, no, the danger is that I learned to drive on things like burnout and need for speed, and now the driving instructors don't let me go near vehicles.
It's fine. It's fine to drive like that. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm really good. I haven't actually caused any crashes. It's just, I don't necessarily follow the rules.
That's not great as a road user, because part of when you're driving is you're kind of assuming everyone around you is basically following the rules, because if they're not, you have problems.
In fairness, that absolutely doesn't happen on the Isle of Man. There are so many people over here who can barely drive. Part of this is possibly to do with the fact that we have areas which literally have no speed limit. You can go 200 miles an hour if you want to. If your vehicle is capable of it. The problem being, of course, that people don't know how to drive at that speed.
Is it like Belgium over there? Was there a time when you didn't need a license to start driving or something, and you've still got all these older people who never actually learned?
I have no idea. Here's the thing, though. You can get your license over here at 16, or you could.
All right.
Back then. So combination of get your license at 16 and areas of the public roads have no speed limit. Once you get your driving license for a year, you're not allowed to go over 50, if I remember rightly, but even so, that's still 17-year-olds driving at 140 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Not really.
It's a bad combination. All right, next topic, Steam sales. I know that Tim has things to say about this, but I'm going to save that. So, Paul, did you buy anything in Steam sales?
I forgot it was on.
Right. What? We had daily articles about it, Paul. Do you not read our site?
You know, it kind of all became a sort of blur after a couple of days. Oh, look, more cheap games.
It does. I mean, Just Cause 2 can only be like 80% off so many times before
you... Right, I refused to buy anything in the Steam sale unless I got money in my Steam wallet, and I had like £1.49, and really wasn't much for £1.49.
Keeps you safe.
Well, there were a few decent games I saw for around about 80p. I can't remember what they were at this point, but I wrote about them last week.
Oh, yeah, but Tim, your idea of decent games is probably different from my idea of decent games.
Yeah, this is a point. You actually don't like anything.
No, I don't like decent games. No, I don't like shit games. Does anyone like shit games? Oh, I don't know.
Well, the only thing I've heard you actually praise as a good game is Star Citizen, and you haven't even fucking played it.
Oh, I have you played it.
You just gave all your money to Chris Roberts. You walked around the hangar, Paul.
No, I've actually taken my shit beyond the hangar. I've even done the racing, which I'm terrible at.
God. Yeah, I don't know if I have heard Paul praise it as a good game. I've heard you talk about it. I haven't necessarily heard you praise it.
No, I wouldn't praise it yet.
Peter, what is the last game you can remember Paul praising?
Quake Wars.
No. See, Grey Goo was good. I enjoyed that.
City Skylines.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well.
March.
So, the two games that I think are decent but massively overrated are the two people really likes. Excellent.
Yeah, because I buy into all the hype.
It's opinions. Oh, yeah, the hype around City Skylines. Their AAA marketing campaign. Yeah. It's opinions, man. That's the great thing about it. I haven't played City Skylines, so I can't really comment.
It's okay. It's all right. For the price in particular, you know, pretty good.
Yep. Go on, Tim. What did you buy? I know you bought something for me. You bought a couple of things for me, which is ambitious, because you know how often I play things for you.
Did I buy multiple things for you? I don't remember this.
You bought me South Park, as threatened.
I remember that.
Last week.
Yeah.
And you bought me One Finger Death Punch as well.
I'd forgotten about that.
Which I have actually played. It's pretty good.
That barely counts. That was like 12p.
Yeah, but, you know, I've got at least 12p's worth of value out of it. I can show you. Yeah, it's a good game. You use the left and right mouse buttons. Why did I say rice mouse buttons? That's kind of racist, considering the type of games.
It's quite racist.
Left and right mouse buttons. To use your little stick figure man, who is well versed in the martial arts, to punch other stick figures who are approaching you, and occasionally shoot them with bows, or like slash them with swords, or kick a ball at them, and various other moves that you get. And you know, some of them can dodge, and some of them require multiple hits and stuff like that.
It sounds like a shit version of Karateka.
It's
actually, if anything, it's more like a really good version of Karateka.
Oh no, we've got another disagreement. It's not dissimilar, yeah.
Karateka is fine. It's just this is a bit more fast paced than.
It's very fast. Just yeah.
Worst thing about Karateka was those fucking birds. Ugh.
Wasn't the worst thing about Karateka that you can get to the end, and if you approach the princess while you're still in a combat stance, she instantly kills you. And
no,
you
that's
have to
the
go back.
Best thing about that game. That's the secret good ending. She's like, who's this fucking numpty who's come to get me? Fuck off. yeah, it's like in Hotline Miami 2, where the woman on one of those levels is like, fucking nutter, I'm not going with you, you just slaughtered all my friends.
Yeah.
It's a very realistic response. Anyway.
And then if you do it right, she does actually shoot you.
Yes. Seems fair, really. It's reasonable. So, Tim, what did you get? And have you played them? Maybe this can seep into what we've played. I don't know.
I actually have played both of them, and I think that you can probably join in the discussion on both of them.
Okay, I'm nervous now. I'm feeling trepidatious, but okay.
Well, one of them was something we've actually mentioned a few times on this very podcast, which was Assassin's Creed Unity.
Oh!
Because I was really curious about how it would run on my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, have you tried it yet?
I have.
Bear in mind you're playing post about 20 patches as well, but how the hell does it play?
Fine, actually.
Very good.
I don't like the graphical style because everything looks really soft and weird. Minor frame rate issues after it's been running for a while, and the actual game itself is incredibly fucking bloated with stuff to do, and the weird mix of accents really bothers me, but in terms of actual, it runs okay.
Alright.
I have encountered some hilarious graphical and animation bugs, though. There was a man who was completely frozen in place. While his magic broom swept the floor around him.
I'm glad those are still in there. They're just glitches in the animus, Tim, that's all.
Oh shit, that's their excuse for everything, isn't it?
They can get away with it. Perfect. They've got this whole virtual reality setup thing, and they can just go, no, it's just a bug, man, it's fine. Yeah, okay, you know what? I'm glad that it does actually run, sort of, does run properly on proper hardware after patch.
I do have an Nvidia card, and as you've mentioned, this is I think 5 patches in. It runs okay. It doesn't appear to be a particularly good game. It's better than Assassin's Creed 3.
I haven't played 3, but I've heard tales.
In fairness, I have had trips to the toilet that I've enjoyed more than Assassin's Creed 3, so I have produced things in the toilet that were of higher quality than Assassin's Creed 3.
Damn.
I really don't like Assassin's Creed 3. It's fucking bad, man.
Alright, so that's Unity. What else? What's the other thing you bought that I might have?
The other thing was the Dark Souls 2 upgrade to Scholar of the First Sin, because that was like 70% off or something.
Yeah. I saw it was cheap, but I'd spent my wallet money getting a birthday present for my wife, so I didn't have any Steam wallet funds left.
Peter, it's really hard. It is really fucking hard. It's FromSoft's response to the people who said that Dark Souls 2 were easy, and this response is, with one hand they're making a wanking gesture at the community, and with the other hand they're fucking flipping them the bird. It is stupidly difficult.
Interesting.
It's like Dark Souls 2, if Dark Souls 2, that's normal difficulty, and then New Game Plus is hard difficulty.
This
is such fucking nightmare mode.
I kind of want to get this now. It sounds interesting. So,
You know the hippo monsters that you first encounter in Things Betwixt if you take a little side route?
Yeah,
do you remember how there's one of them right at the start of Forest of Fallen Giants with, like, 5 or 6 skeleton guys around it?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Okay, you remember the Hades Tower of Flame, yeah? And you remember how there's, how in Forest of Fallen Giants there's that one sort of crestfallen knight sat by the tree in the clearing, and if you attack him,
he's a Heed knight. So, logically, he should be at Hades Tower of Flame. So I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's a good thing that he's not there anymore. He's not in the forest anymore. But there are, I think, 9 or 10 of them in the Tower of Flame. And once you kill a boss, they all aggro. So now, whenever I go to the waypoint there, I'm immediately under attack by 2 of them. And dealing with the huge giant knights with several of those smaller, quicker ones attacking me, that's quite tricky. Also, do you remember the dragon in Hades Tower of Flame?
No, but I did see him in the trailer, so I was aware of his presence.
He fucking hates me.
So there's now a dragon, all of the old, like, sentinel-type dudes that there were before, and, like, 9 Heed knights.
Yeah.
And there's room for all of those people. It's not even that big, that level.
You know the Estus flask shard that's in Majula? That's not there anymore.
Fuck's sake.
The one in the...
Yeah. Oh, so...
Yeah, that's... There is no well anymore.
Oh my god. So how many Estus flask shards can you have by the time you reach Hades Tower of Flame then, theoretically? Like 2?
Well, I've got 2.
So maybe 3.
I may have missed 1 or 2. That's possible.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Some I suspect have moved around a bit. Yeah, it's really, really hard. Enemies are in slightly different places. It's a case of there are loads more enemies and they are much more aggressive. I have no idea how you would do a spellcasting build on this because you simply cannot kite enemies anymore.
I've said a terrible thought. How's Shrine of Amana going to be in this version? It was bad enough in the first game.
Do you remember the early screenshot we saw when it was first announced with 900 spiders in it?
Oh, spiders, right.
I can now firmly believe that that is an actual gameplay screenshot.
Yeah, that seems... In fact, they may have toned that down. It's probably... Because they only had spiders on the floor. There was definitely more space on the walls, on the ceiling, inside the player's space, hiding in your backpack. I don't know. Behind you as well.
Those two areas actually seem to be the most difficult I've visited so far, because I've also made it to No Man's Wharf. I've still got one boss to kill in Hades Tower of Flame, but I simply cannot get to it because there's a dragon in the way and I keep getting attacked by knights.
Oh, does that mean that the ring then is really hard to get now? The ring that stops your life force from depleting?
Funny you should mention that. One of the knights is actually sat in front of the chest, so you have to fight him to get
it. Yes. Oh man, this sounds incredible.
It's really difficult. I haven't had too much of a problem, or at least not more of a problem than I would expect in the horrible dark forest. Whatever the hell that was called, or in No Man's Wharf. Both of those they didn't seem too much more difficult, although it might have just been that I was rushing to them a bit sooner than usual, so I was expecting to die horribly.
Have you noticed much difference with the DirectX 11 graphics stuff, or does it basically look the same?
It basically looks the same, except things are darker. There are a few areas where torches might actually be conceivably useful now.
Fair enough.
Which has actually brought to light a couple of really weird points about how they do the lighting insofar as a room...
Brought to light, eh? I see what you did there.
Well, the light...
Don't give me that. That was a good joke. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It deserved that response.
Sorry, Peter.
Continue with your lighting talk. Sorry.
The lighting is based on where you're standing rather than what the lighting is in the actual room. So you can be standing outside and a room looks like it's really bright and so on, and then the instant you step inside, suddenly everything is pitch black. Which is a bit odd, but not unexpected.
That is a bit odd.
I would highly recommend it to any genuine masochists. it's slightly more fun than flagellating yourself.
Keep that in mind next time I see it cheap somewhere, or if PlayStation give it away as PSN Plus game of the month or whatever. Yeah. Eventually,
I'd be eager to hear what you think about it, because I'm gonna carry on crying my way through it. I mean, it's normally with Dark Souls, I feel like, okay, this is quite hard, but I'll make a bit of progress, I'll carry on, I'll die. I'll make a bit more progress, I'll die. Yeah. In this case, I'm just laughing in despair because I have no idea how I'm going to handle this.
And this is early on as well. I mean, these are the first few, three or four sections, the zones. Yeah.
It's horribly unpleasant in the best sort of way. I approve.
I've heard that when you get to the Bastille, then the pursuer starts showing up a lot. Like 4 or 5 times.
That is one other little difference. You know the very first place he turns up in Forest of Fallen Giants on that? You climb onto a big plaza area.
Yeah,
there's like 6 skeletons up there now as well.
Oh, great.
And they're still there. There's quite a lot of loot up there to get, but you're going to have to climb up there to get it, and there are a lot of very angry, very aggressive skeletons up there.
That's what that area needed, was more enemies, definitely.
That entire area, Forest of Fallen Giants, is also full of those big, fat knights with the huge maces that like to fall over backwards onto you.
Oh, the turtle knights.
Yeah. I don't know whether I'd say this is worth the sort of £20 it would have cost to upgrade initially.
Probably not.
It does genuinely feel new.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, there are, you know, some enemies have moved around a bit. It's much, much harder. It does feel different and new, even though it is technically the same. It's totally worth buying when it's on sale, if you're a complete masochist, which I think most Dark Souls players are, in fairness.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they've catered it to people who've played the original version several times through, and are like, well, all right, okay, you reckon you're good at this? Here you go. Try this for some.
Yeah. I highly approve. It's sort of what I wanted in my most feverish nightmares about the horrible things that FromSoft could do to me.
Man, Paul's flipping off a cat. I want people to know this. Paul, why are you flipping off your cat? What did the cat ever do to you?
She's getting in the way.
She's not in the way. She's just like on your desk. That's what cats do. That's where they hang out.
Go away.
How rude.
This is practical cruelty to animals.
I know. It's disgraceful.
Although I do like the way the cat's movement is causing Paul's webcam to bob up and down.
It's probably rubbing its face on it. Is that the first cat diversion we've had in the PC Invasion podcast? I think it might be.
I think it is. Yeah. Your cat hasn't taken part in a PC Invasion podcast yet, Peter.
No, well, since we started doing them in the mornings, they're less... They sleep in the mornings. They have quite a regular sleeping schedule, so...
Jesus Christ, lazy bastards.
No, they're just enjoying the sunshine, hanging around, you know, being cats. I played this a while ago because the beta ended during E3, but I played a bit of Might and Magic Heroes 7, the closed beta.
Don't give them that justification. It's Heroes of Might and Magic 7.
Yes, it is. I don't know when...
No, they're trying to do it. Oh no, it's Might and Magic. That's the name of the series, and it's just got various. No, it's fucking not. It's Heroes of Might and Magic. Heroes of Might and Magic for 2 decades.
Yeah, the last time I played it was definitely Heroes of Might and Magic. I don't remember which one that was. It was like early 2000s sometime, maybe like 4 or 5 or something like that. Structure hasn't changed much. I've got to tell you, it's pretty much Heroes of Might and Magic again in 7. In the sense that, you know, you got your hero with their attendant army. They go traversing around, exploring the world in sort of top-down-ish isometric view, beating up neutral armies, getting treasure, upgrading your home fortress so that you can hire more armies and sort of different, more powerful creatures, going back and forth to your fortress, getting more spells, exploring a bit further. You know, it's Might and Magic. It's Heroes of Might and Magic. And the battles are turn-based on small square arenas. Also very Heroes of Might and Magic.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And it's one that might seem a little bit unfair, but I have a reason behind this. Right. Is the beta horrifically buggy?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's funny you should ask that.
That on the one hand, that probably shouldn't surprise me. On the other hand, that does slightly worry me, because when Heroes of Might and Magic 6, or Might and Magic Heroes 6, came out, the full game was also horrifically buggy, mostly full of bugs that people had mentioned in the beta repeatedly.
Good. This one crashes a lot. If you try and initiate a battle, it likes to crash. If you look at your inventory, it likes to crash. If you back away slowly from the game, hoping it won't crash, it likes to crash. I think I had one session that I managed to get like a 2-hour stretch out of. All the rest, it just crashed, and I had to reload and stuff.
Well, that's the sort of bug I would hope they would actually fix.
I would hope so
nice,
too.
We're getting some proper pussy action on Paul's webcam now.
It is. The full
this is the first time Molly's ever been on.
Cat.
This is the first time Molly's ever been on.
Oh.
That cat's a slightly weird colour. Although maybe it's just the lighting. I'm not sure.
She's got this weird kind of gold stuff through her black fur. It's weird.
Yes. So that's pretty cool.
She's got a favourite leg. It's my favourite leg. One that's kind of spotty. We call it the favourite leg.
What were we talking about?
I don't know, but I'm being attacked. I've got two of them in here now. Jesus.
Might and Magic 7 crashing a lot. I'm writing a preview of this right now. I've almost finished it. It'll be up pretty soon. It basically says, yeah, it's another Might and Magic, Heroes of Might and Magic game, but one that currently crashes a lot. So hopefully it won't do that by the time they release it.
I didn't so much have crashing problems. I think Heroes of Might and Magic 6 might have crashed once or twice, but the problems I had were things like that I would have a weekly event that was supposed to halve production of one type of unit, and instead what it did was reduce the recruitment of all of the units in all of my towns to -9,999 for 999 turns.
Well, I haven't noticed that, so that's good.
That's the sort of thing I would expect to see that in a beta. And sure enough, that bug was in the beta. The problem was they didn't fix it before the full game.
Yeah, this is a different developer this time, I think. It's Limbic, who did the Might and Magic 10 Legacy, which I think was pretty fine and pretty good.
I really liked that.
So hopefully they'll...
I'm not going to say that didn't have bugs, but they didn't get in the way of my enjoyment, I will say that.
I mean, there's bugs and bugs. There's the one that you've mentioned there, which sounds like a bit of a game stopper. And there's ones where, like, oh, this attack is supposed to be slightly more damaging than it really is. Maybe you want to use a different one until they fix this, which is, you know, that's annoying, but it's not really. Whatever, it's a bit of a problem. Not a huge one.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully this beta will actually function as a beta.
I'm hoping they're collecting all the crash reports and doing that. So we'll see. It's supposedly coming out in September. That might get delayed. I have an inkling based on this beta. I mean, who knows? Maybe this beta code's from about 6 months ago as well. It's hard to say. But yeah. Paul, did you play anything this week?
After my 89 character wipes in the Path of Exile expansion, I had enough.
Yeah.
So I talked to Chris at Grinding Gear and I said, look, Chris, look, I know you guys are testing this and, you know, it's just a bit of a pain in the arse having to go and rerun through everything again. Mm-hmm. So he said, oh, no problem. I'll get my best guys on this. And a couple of days later, after the last character wipe, I have three shiny new characters all pimped out. With all the most amazing pimpy type skills.
So you're cheating, Paul.
Is
this a service available to the general public?
No, please don't. Please don't even suggest that. So I started my journey finally into Act 4. Because every time I got to nearly Act 4, they wiped my character. And it was just like, no!
It's like they knew.
What's going to happen when they wipe these new cheat characters of yours?
Mm. Well, yeah, that's pretty bad. But I just couldn't face running through the bloody caves again, and doing the bloody prison, and then getting into the forest and doing all that again. It was doing my head in, and it was really disheartening because I'd have to leave it a few days because I was busy, and then I'd go back to it and it was like, oh no, I'm on the fucking beach again.
And then you just, got E3 and all that malarkey.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, Paul. This is a test realm, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
regular players of the game aren't suffering these character wipes every 3 days.
No, this is just the beta test. So the beta test players are suffering them. 3 days is a bit of an exaggeration. It's like being a week and a half or a couple of weeks or so. But you know what my schedule's like, it's just kind of when I can get to it type thing. So yeah, I've been enjoying that very, very different kind of atmosphere in Act 4. It's a lot gloomier, so it probably appeared to appeal more to the sort of the Diablo type, a bit more sinister like. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying it because I'm being able to just run through the level, basically mashing everything, which is great because they put a couple of good builds together on three different classes. So I shall be heading back into that because the plan is, I didn't want to speak to Chris Wilson until I'd actually done that. So now that I'm doing that, I will be speaking to him in the next couple of days. And on the subject of Path of Exile, we do have beta keys to give away.
Ooh.
So you'll get a few weeks of the beta probably before it launches. So
in fact, you too may be able to experience the joy of character wipes.
No, I think that's probably going to be it actually now.
All right.
So well, it's probably quite a good time to join it.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff? It obviously adds a whole new act. In Act 4.
What else? It's mainly a focus on the act. There's no other classes being added, which is kind of unusual for a sort of full-blown expansion. But then they kind of, they do sort of game updates every 3 or 4 months. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. There's always something new going on or new going in, whether it's new items or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So they kind of don't think, oh, it's like Blizzard would say, oh, it's an expansion, so we've got to put a new character class in because people will expect it. With this, it's kind of evolving all the time anyway, so it's not really required, and it's just this final, well, this Act 4, which is what everyone's kind of been waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so this is the final segment. This is like,
I haven't got to the final segment. Yeah, but, so I'm not going to say that it is, and the fact that it's kind of like constantly evolving, I probably wouldn't think that it is. So
it wraps up the current campaign.
Well, it kind of felt like it wrapped up at the end of Act 3, which I guess they kind of had to let it wrap up. So I'm intrigued to see how it all slots together. So, but I'll talk to Chris about that anyway.
Sexy. I'm assuming. Will it be sexy? It's always sexy when you talk to Chris, right?
It is sexy.
The sexual tension is palpable.
So it's New Zealand accent. It just gets me going every time.
Is he going to listen to this podcast?
I hope not. I really hope not.
I'm going to send it to him.
Yeah.
Chris, listen right to the end. There's a special message just for you. Right, so site coming up on it, there will be Might and Magic 7 or Heroes and Might and Magic 7 preview. Tim, I assume you're going to be looking at the Joys of Batman as soon as it's downloaded 100 gig or however big that game is.
Yep.
Obviously, yeah, Path of Exile Beta Keys giveaway will be happening shortly-ish, I guess.
I'm going to possibly, but it just depends. Well, obviously, being to Christmas, I'm going to try and have a look at Vector Thrust, which is coming out beginning of next month, which is kind of like, it's quite a cool little sort of arcade flight same game, but it's really stylized graphics. It's quite nice. So I'm going to have another look at that. It's a while ago since I looked at that. I was going to do a video for it a while ago, but the game kept crashing because it was in early access. So there was problems with it. So it's probably a good time to have another look at it now because it's just about to come out.
Most of this podcast has just been games that we tried to play that were crashing.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. You get everything set up to do your recording and that, and then you load the game up and then it goes,
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, actually... I know we have to now make YouTube videos because people actually subscribed after last week's podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know.
It takes me like 6 hours to upload something that's 4 minutes long.
It doesn't take me that long. I have no excuse.
No, I've got no excuse either. I'm just lazy.
That's a good excuse, laziness. That's fine.
Yeah. All right. I've also this week.
I'll start looking at some stuff in video form then. Let's do this.
Yeah. Do that. Also, after last week's podcast, I was getting slagged off from me because I was slagging off VR. I don't know if you saw that post.
I didn't.
Was that you? Was that me?
No, it was me. I was got to be me. I'm always slagging it off.
What was it saying?
I don't know. It's gonna be amazing. Apparently, I'm a bit of a dunderhead. A quote. That's a quote. Dunderhead. Love it. So yeah, I responded to that. Basically said, yes, I am the dunderhead, and there's a reason why I can talk about it. It's because I've had quite a lot of experience with it. So no, I'm not talking shit. So if you think I'm talking shit, I'm not talking shit.
I just don't know what to think with VR. I haven't tried it, and so I feel like all the stuff about it, you know, not being that comfortable and all motion sickness stuff. And all that jazz, totally valid. And I do worry about all of that. But also, whenever I listen to people who've used it, it's like they've had some kind of religious experience and they've become like evangelized to this new and exciting realm of possibilities. And it's like, there's something to that as well. I'm a little tempted by that as well.
You are evangelized when you're shoved into a demo room and you get 5-10 minutes on it. Then you're going to think, oh, brilliant, I wish I could spend an hour, but I can't because they're hoofing me off. But if you could spend an hour on it, you'd probably be going, well, this is all right, but... I don't know.
I see. Yeah, that's an interesting
it's kind of like it is a new experience if you've never done it before, or if it's a new piece of hardware and it's so much better than what you've tried before, then you will be excited by it. But as far as it changing the way that we do everything, as far as gaming is concerned, then really just can shove that up your arse.
I will not. I've seen them, they're massive. I'm kind of leaning towards it ending up at this stage as an expensive niche for people who really like sim type games. You know, like the people who shell out for 20 monitors to play Elite Dangerous will get this. The people who want to play Euro Truck Simulator for a million hours will probably get one.
Even Euro Truck Simulator is not that good in it.
That gave me the worst motion sickness out of everything I played. No, it shouldn't have been too bad, and that's probably a bit better now. The problem with that was that the head tracking was off. Like I would move my head 20 degrees to the left, and the in-game view would move like 90 degrees, and that is incredibly disconcerting.
Alright. Well, you know, we'll obviously talk more about VR and then probably play around with it when it actually comes out more thoroughly than it has.
Oh, I can't be bothered, to be perfectly honest. The design looks terrible on the Oculus. Looks really uncomfortable still.
But maybe we could blag one of Valve's ones, the Vive or whatever. See what that's like.
You just want to walk around with those stupid umbrella controllers.
Yes, I do. I want to blag some of Steam's other hardware. When are we getting those? When can we have the controller?
I don't know. Well, see,
a review neither... in quotes.
Well, this week you've seen the face of Mr. Lombardi, so...
I have, I see.
Does he look like a man that's going to send you a Steam machine?
No, he does not look like a man that's going to send me anything. He was given a talk about green light, but he didn't... I don't want to say he didn't have anything interesting to say. He didn't have anything relevant to our sphere to say. It was sort of more of a general... the gateways to shipping a game are lowered these days, like...
I thought you were going to say that in his talk about green light, he managed to not actually say anything relevant to green light. Considering that he is a PR person, that would actually have been fucking good work.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff about like, oh, now there's no middlemen, there's no gatekeepers to preventing you from publishing stuff. And I was thinking like, yeah, I kind of liked having some of those gatekeepers because they prevented a lot of shit from getting through the gate. Doug Lombardi. I say, I hear what you're saying, and this is good on some level, but I don't know, having some like regulatory aspect was also helpful in some ways.
Yeah, but now the gamers are the gatekeepers. The problem, of course, being that gamers are idiots.
Well,
not all of you. If you're listening to this podcast, then probably not.
No, you're very astute and intelligent. Well done.
Probably really good looking, too.
Absolutely. No, it's like when you get a group of people together, they don't generally make good decisions as a group. I mean, that's just true of anything. So, yeah. Anyway, kind of wandered into a whole new topic there somehow when I was thinking about wrapping the podcast up, but that's all fine, it's all good. Thanks for listening, you incredibly attractive, astute, intelligent people. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Silent under the dawn of that last great day.
Thank you.
Hello, help me. I'm sorry. Thank you. Very good.